And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. And folks, I was prepared to come on today and just spend some time talking about how great life is and how wonderful life is and how good God is. And of course, I still believe all of that to be true. But just before I signed on, Bernie Sanders hit the podium at a press conference to announce that he's not getting out of the race. Now, I don't really care whether he stays in the race or gets out of the race. I think if he stays in the race, it gives us an opportunity to remind every American that the Democrat Party has become a socialist party. If he gets out of the race, he will not be quiet, and it will still be an opportunity to remind everybody that the Democrat Party has become a socialist party and to point out that Joe Biden is really no different. So get out, stay in, doesn't really matter to me. But he comes onto the podium, not to announce the grand vision that he has for America, not to say to the states that are remaining to vote in the primary, here's where I want to lead America. Here's what I want to do for this country that I love. No. He gets up and launches into a diatribe against President Trump. And the things that he says are not only vicious and false, but they're really stupidly ironic. Because, for example, he says, this president is the most dangerous president in the history of our country. First of all, President Trump is not dangerous. President Trump, as far as I am concerned, and I'm a relatively intelligent human being, and I'm a citizen who loves this country. I want the very best for it. For all I can see, President Trump has done nothing but good for this nation. Nothing but good. I can't think of a single thing, a major policy initiative. You could nitpick on this little thing or that little thing, obviously. But I can't think of a single policy initiative that President Trump has taken that's been bad for the country. Not one. He has renegotiated some of the bad trade deals we've had that undermined our manufacturing base and has begun to bring some of those manufacturing jobs back. He has rejuvenated our economy by cutting regulations and taxes, and we are seeing unprecedented growth that we haven't really seen in. Look, the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years, folks. The lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. That speaks for itself. We're seeing wages increase. We added, I think, 273,000 jobs to the economy last month alone. I want to understand, how is he dangerous? But here's the ironic thing. You know what's dangerous? Socialism. That's what's dangerous. And the person standing behind that podium saying that President Donald J. Trump is dangerous is the most dangerous person who's ever run for president, in my view, other than the communists who've run, like Gus Hall, who John Brennan voted for, the communist for president. Because Bernie Sanders is a communist. He won't admit it, but he is. And then he says, the president doesn't understand the Constitution. Well, I'm thinking to myself, what, and the Constitution sets a framework for socialism? Anybody who says, I am a democratic socialist, first of all, not only doesn't understand the Constitution, doesn't understand anything. Socialism has never been democratic. No socialist country has ever been democratic. It may call itself that, but it's a totalitarian dictatorship. And then he called the president racist, sexist, homophobe. And of course, I've been called those things as well. And so that they mean absolutely nothing to me because I believe this president loves the citizens of this country. I think he genuinely cares about every single citizen. regardless of gender, regardless of color, regardless of race. But then this, he calls the president a religious bigot. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Whoa. This is the guy who lectured Russ Vaught about a letter he wrote to Wheaton College students and faculty about the truth of their statement of faith that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And Bernie Sanders, more than any other of those senators, of course, the other Democrats jumped on him too, but Bernie Sanders took the lead, told Russell Vaught that there's no place in America for that kind of thinking. Well, wait a minute. Well, so there's no place in America for the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's no place in America for telling people that there's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus? There's no place in America for telling people that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that we might have a right to the tree of life and inherit eternal life through him? There's no place in America for that. And the president is doing everything in his power to uphold the religious liberty of Christians and all Americans and our ability to freely and peacefully pursue our religious convictions and conscience. And you who tell a nominee for deputy director of the Office and Management and Budget that has nothing to do with religiosity, you lecture him and you oppose his nomination because he's a Bible-believing Christian who tells people that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. So in other words, in Bernie Sanders' America, throw out the Bible. And you've got the unmitigated gall to call the president a religious bigot? folks, listen. If you look up the word oblivious in the dictionary, you ought to find a picture of Bernie Sanders, because you cannot be more oblivious than to say that the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, who has been a champion of religious liberty, that he is a religious bigot, and you who lecture somebody about they're not having a place in America because they believe in Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. In other words, Jesus is not welcome in Bernie Sanders' America because Jesus is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. If you believe that, you don't belong in America. So Jesus doesn't belong in America because we believe that because Jesus said that. And you've got the nerve to point the finger at Donald Trump and call him a religious bigot? When your staff members are talking about creating indoctrination camps once you get elected to denazify the population, and you got the nerve to say that President Trump, who's done nothing but good for this country, is dangerous? I'll tell you what, if anybody's dangerous, it's Bernie Sanders, who the communist-loving, Soviet-praising, Fidel Castro admiring and worshiping individual who vacationed in the Soviet Union and came back and told us, in spite of the gulags that people were languishing and dying in, that they really, oh, their subways are just, it's just beautiful. Oh, man, I'll tell you, if only America could be like the Soviet Union, we'd have great subways too. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, so that kind of changed my mood, you know, because it's totally off. It's ridiculous. And the very things he's saying about President Trump, he's the one who's dangerous. He's the one who's a religious bigot. And apparently, he may be a complete misanthrope, a hater of human beings based on what his staff says. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Many years ago, Walter Williams wrote a column with the controversial title, Gullible Americans. I thought about it now that Democrats seem ready to nominate a candidate who is planning to raise taxes. In his column, he reminded us that during the legislative debate about the 16th Amendment, President William Taft and the congressional supporters argued that only the rich would ever have to pay federal income taxes. When the amendment was enacted in 1913, only one half of 1% did pay taxes. Walter Williams argued that Americans ratified the amendment because they were duped into believing only the rich would pay income taxes. It's worth noting that the founders made it impossible to have such a tax. That being said, Abraham Lincoln did impose an income tax on Americans to finance the war. It was later repealed. During the Grover Cleveland administration, Congress enacted the Income Tax Act of 1894. The next year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional. That's why the 16th Amendment had to be passed in order to have an income tax. Walter Williams also cited Medicare as another example of gullible Americans. When it was enacted in 1966, Medicare cost $3 billion. The House Ways and Means Committee, along with President Lyndon Johnson, estimated that Medicare would cost an inflation-adjusted $12 billion by 1990. They were off by almost an order of magnitude. In 1990, Medicare topped $107 billion. Today, Medicare costs more than $600 billion. We as Americans have been gullible when believing that a new tax won't affect us. We have been gullible in thinking that a new government program will stay within the estimated budget. The question is whether we'll be gullible again in this election year. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
8 Days of Hope continues to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The ministry is in need of volunteers as they turn their attention to Nashville. Visit 8daysofhope.com to learn how you can help. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change. And you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door, and there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country, and homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 years or older. Food and lodging are provided. Be a part of helping tornado victims in Nashville. Learn more or sign up at 8daysofhope.com.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, we're back. And after having to explain the darkness emanating from the person of Bernie Sanders, let's come into the light. Because I've got a guest now who really is doing some great work down in Tampa, Florida, in that area. And he and his wife founded an organization called Somebody Cares, and they're feeding the hungry and housing the homeless and helping people with all kinds of needs in the name of Jesus Christ and working with ministers and ministries and citizens there who are really trying to help that community. And lo and behold, somehow out of all of that, and he's going to explain that in a second, a movie emerges, and I've seen it. It is a tremendous movie, and I hope that all of you are going to want to see it by the time we get done. By the time we get done here, so Bernard, thank you so much, Daniel, for joining us here, and sharing with us the great things that you are doing down in the Tampa, Florida area.
Well, thank you, Bishop. I appreciate it. By the way, I'm just going to real quickly get a quick plug into. Well, we just met a gal running for Congress. Her name is Anna Paulina Luna. Boy, I tell you what, she's on fire for God. So this is great being in her presence and hearing her story. But, you know, our story is one where my son was in a near-fatal car accident, had a 4x5-inch piece of his skull removed due to this traumatic brain injury that he had and broken vertebrae. He wasn't expected to live. Actually, he was technically dead. But God, he not only did he live and survive, of course, they didn't think he'd ever be functional again. And of course, if you, as Bishop's seen the movie, you'll see that he's He's very, very functional in every aspect.
Yes.
So God just did a miraculous work and ended up, you know, taking that inspired, actually that story inspired a movie and called The Favorite.
And my it's been seen nationwide.
The accident.
Yeah, I just want people to know it's already been seen nationwide. I've seen it. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about how others can see it still. But it is a tremendous movie, Daniel, a tremendous movie. I've seen it a couple of times. When I see a movie second time, that means I really, really like it. And I really, really like this movie. So, but go ahead and tell us more about it.
Well, you know, it was, like I said, my son, he was, he had 6 months after this, he had a dream about two brothers, and we were just, he was so excited about it because he slept with people with TBI. They have difficulty. They have insomnia. And so he slept this night. And he had a deep sleep, and in that had a dream. And he's beginning to tell about this dream he had between about two brothers. And the one brother, you know, he was the favorite and so forth. And the other brother was trying to, he became an MMA fighter trying to win fights. I mean, he's going on and on with about this dream. And the one brother who was the favorite, he was in an accident and had the same injuries as my son did and a similar recovery. And as he went on and on, I said, wow, that's just too creative to be you. That sounds like God. So he began to write it down. And a month later, now this is a guy who's never written more than 20 pages. In the middle of a traumatic brain injury, he writes an 88-page story that becomes a script that's wow. become the movie. And stars John Schneider and as many of us know from Dukes of Hazzard and so forth. And by the way, Bishop, just let you know that we just got an offer from PureFlix for the streaming rights. So we're very, very excited about that. But for people now, we've been in the theaters, but now what we're doing, we are actually streaming, going to be doing a live streaming event with the movie into the churches. So the churches can use this as a means to repair relationships, to reach their community, and it becomes a fundraiser. The 40 to 60% of the proceeds will go back to the local church, or you could do it and support Stand, for that matter. You know, whatever cause
right.
you want to use
or,
it for.
Support AFR. AFR. Right, or they could support our network. They could use it to support our network. We're a nonprofit network.
The program that can support Stand, absolutely. And yeah. So any pastor out there, and it's going to be. We take care of everything. Once you sign up, you're going to get all the marketing materials, the 30-second spot, the trailers, the posters, also the ministry tools, which is a gospel track called "You Are the Favorite," an 11-day prayer guide where you pray for your favorite not-yet-Christian people, and also then a six-week study guide on favoritism. So all that becomes free to you, and actually we set up a landing page, so you have your own customized landing page where people can buy tickets right online, and so it's all just streamlined for you, for the church just to use it. And we're doing it, you know, we're suggesting that the big dates that we're trying to push nationally are the weekend prior to Father's Day and the weekend of Father's Day, just because, you know, it's a father-son relationship
right.
thing, so it gives the family something to do with the dad. And, men's ministries and all sorts should be all over this.
Well, look, how do people plug into this? Because I've already told you, we're going to do it in our church because I just think it's a powerful movie. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't want to give the story away. But people will be inspired and uplifted, and it's a quality production too. This is no two-bit production, you know, just half put together. It really is a quality movie because I've seen it on the big screen as well as viewing it at a pre-screening. So, how do people get in touch with you to get involved in helping to show it in their church or wherever they choose to?
Yeah, exactly. It can be a number of places. Well, just call me on my I call my office at 727-536-2273. So it's 727-536-CARE. Somebody Cares, Tampa Bay, 727-536-2273. They can also go on to the favoritemovie.com. They can watch the trailer. They can see the 700 Club story that tells the true story that inspired the movie and so on. And, of course, then there's an email there. They could email us, info@thefavoritemovie.com. So go to thefavoritemovie.com to go onto our website, watch the trailer, or just give us a call at 727-536-2273. If you, as a pastor, if you feel like you need to see the screener, we can make the screener available, too, so that you feel good about what you're sharing with your congregation. But as Bishop said, you know, I think you can trust Bishop. It's a powerful movie, powerful salvation scene in the movie, and of course, great to build family relationships with. So
yes, it is, and it deals with a very important issue, which is the relationship of fathers to their children. And but, you know, the thing is, without here again, I don't want to give the movie away because it's just too good to give it away. But, you know, your son, having gone through that, of course, he stars in the movie, and nobody would ever know that your son was in this terrible accident because he acts well. I mean, he really acts well. He's a good actor, but the guy is buff. I mean, he's in great shape, and, you know, he plays an MMA fighter in the movie. You're right. The whole thing, the way he got this is a dream, and the way God gave it to him and he wrote the script is really just a miracle. And seeing him on film is part of the miracle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Bishop, I don't know, but today is the 7-year anniversary of when I was, because Luke had the accident on March 9th, 2013. But it was not until March 11th, I got called 2 days later by his employer, who told me that Luke was missing. So today marks the date when I heard and learned about Luke's accident. 2 days after he actually had the accident and had the surgery, he was all alone, laying in the hospital, all alone, and no one had called us or anything. So I just look back upon that, and I'm just thinking, of course, all the emotions that go through that. But I just think, wow, you know, certainly God's hand was on this because, you know, laying there motionless in a coma and, you know, obviously probably just very, if you get any consciousness at all, disoriented and so forth. And it could have been in full despair, could have just gave up. But he hung on and God saved his life, so.
Yeah, barely expected to survive, let alone come back to a life of health and strength and activity. So it really is an amazing story. There's no question. You know, you and I didn't pick this date, by the way, in any symbolic way, but that's interesting that this date is exactly 7 years since you got the news of what had happened to him. Wow, that's God.
7 years to the day, yeah.
That's God.
Cancel my, I was in Houston, Texas. Canceled my flight back to Tampa, took a flight straight to L.A., and got there the next day at 1 a.m. in the morning. So it was been quite the journey, but we thank God for what he's done. And, you know, we get so many responses of people asking us to pray for them for traumatic brain injury and everything else, and I can tell you that this is a very, very, well, as I said, the Dr. Peter Gruen, who is the director of neurosurgery for L.A. County Hospital, one of the largest trauma centers in the world, he just said, you know, what can you say? It's miraculous.
And, yeah, when doctors say that, when doctors say that, you know something's going on.
Oh, yeah, especially this doctor. He wasn't just a neurosurgeon. He was the director of neurosurgery. He was over all the other neurosurgeons. So quite the statement for him to say that. So.
Well, listen, Daniel, I am going to give the telephone number. We're close to a break right now. I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to give the telephone number again and the contact information again when I come back and encourage our listeners to check this out because I just think this is something that they will never regret. And the fact that you have a chance to raise some money with it is really just icing on the cake. That's an added bonus. So, Daniel Bernard, the movie is called The Favorite. Check it out, folks. Daniel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bishop. God bless you. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. God bless you. We'll be back in a moment, folks.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
I heard a story the other day. It was a story about how to catch a monkey. Whether it was fact or fiction, I'm not sure. You see, I'm not a very experienced monkey catcher, but I'm sure that it had a good moral point to it. Therefore, I consider it worthy of passing on. Do you know how to catch a monkey? Well, it's a very simple matter, according to my source. Get yourself a real strong steel cage about 1 foot square. Now cut a hole in the cage just large enough for the monkey to slip his open hand through. Take that cage and a small block of sugar into the jungle. Secure the cage to the trunk of a tree. Take the small block of sugar and place it just inside the cage so that a monkey can reach in and grab it with his hand. What will happen, my source says, is that the monkey will reach into the cage and grab the block of sugar. Then, with his hand closed around the sugar, he will be unable to slide his hand back through the opening in the cage. My source said the monkey will not turn loose of the sugar, and as long as his hand is clenched around the sugar, he's trapped. You know, greed has captured many a person. But the odd twist is that hardly anyone considers himself greedy. Abe Lincoln used to tell a story about an Illinois farmer he knew who said, "I ain't greedy about land. I only want what joins mine." Well, greed can destroy our humanity as quickly as any other sin. And never forget, that's what greed is, sin. We may call it good business or future security, but simply changing the name doesn't correct the fault. One time, the meat packer Phil Armour gave each member of a certain department in his business a suit of clothes. They had the freedom to pick out their own choice and were told to send the bill to Mr. Armour. They were not limited to the amount they could spend, but were given the right by Mr. Armour to use their own judgment. Well, one young man took advantage of the situation and purchased himself a very expensive suit of clothes. When Mr. Armour received the bill, he called the young man in to make sure the bill was correct. He was told, indeed, that it was the correct price. Mr. Armour assured the young man that the bill would be paid. But before the young man returned to his job, Mr. Armour had a piece of wisdom to share with him. This is what he said. "I wish to say to you that I have packed a great many hogs in my time, but I've never dressed one before." One day, on a mountain beside the little Sea of Galilee, a Galilean carpenter gave a crowd some words of life. "Don't store up treasures here on earth where they can erode away or may be stolen. Store them in heaven where they will never lose their value and are safe from thieves." As we all know, greed cannot produce any type of treasures other than materialistic treasures. And materialistic treasures are non-existent in the life beyond this one. You know, I got to thinking about my friend's story on how to catch a monkey. I've come to a conclusion concerning it. Either there are a lot of monkeys around who look like people, or there are a lot of people around who act like monkeys.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And folks, my good friend Daniel Bernard has made a wonderful movie. I believe me, I said I've seen it twice. So if you're interested in getting involved with it or just seeing it, go to thefavoritemovie.com, thefavoritemovie.com, and you can call 727-536-2273. That's 727-536-2273. Now, I want to get back to this, the vitriol, the venom, the vile mess that Bernie Sanders is spewing from his mouth against the president. And you know, what it reminds me of, what it makes me realize, folks? We are really in the midst of a spiritual battle. This is ultimately not a political battle that we are in. It manifests in the realm of politics, but it is really profoundly, deeply spiritual. And frankly, and I know that the folks who monitor my program to look for reasons to attack me, I don't know why they do that, because I don't know what they think they're stopping me from doing. They're not going to stop me from talking by talking bad about me. And or maybe they're anticipating something I might do in the future, and they want to make sure they've got plenty of ammunition to shoot me down. But this is demonic, folks. It is demonic. Bernie Sanders is a demonic individual. And say he is a communist. And you say, well, now, you know, why do you say that? Because the way he attacked Russ Vaught about his faith in Jesus Christ, you could have put those words right in the mouth of the devil. The devil could have been sitting right there on that platform. Because what he said to him was, so you're saying that people who don't believe in Jesus Christ are condemned? No, Bernie, we're not saying it. Jesus said it. The Bible says it. You got an argument? Argue with God, which is what the devil's been doing for a very long time anyway. But argue with God. We are simply his ambassadors. We are simply his representatives telling the truth. And we're telling the truth without hatred, bitterness, anger. In fact, we're telling it with love. We're speaking the truth in love, because if people are not warned, the Bible says their blood is on our hands. We have a responsibility to warn them, because God loves them and wants them. It's our job to remind them of that, but you can't remind them of that. In other words, there's no such thing as salvation without the concept of being saved from something. I'm saved. Saved from what? Saved from what? I mean, you're just not saved in a vacuum. You're saved from something. What are you saved from? Eternal damnation in a place that was made for the devil and his angels, because they simply, that particular group simply would not follow God, would not obey God, would not submit to God, would not bow down to God. And every human being that chooses that path and dies in that state is going to go to the prison that was made for the devil and his angels. And that prison is called hell, and ultimately the lake of fire, which is the ultimate eternal maximum security prison. And it is not going to be a pleasant place. And so Bernie Sanders needs to get he needs to get right with God. But here's the thing I really want to point out. And I'm going to start taking your calls early, because I'm enjoying that, and I want to get it done early. So call me and go ahead and get in the queue. You know, I've been listening to too many of these British people. at 888-589-8840. Get in the queue. 888-589-8840. You see, folks, I really believe that the whole Democrat Party has been wholly taken over by Satan. And just think about the things that they stand for now. It has been wholly taken over by Satan. At a time when more and more of our population, more and more of Americans are saying, you know, well, abortion is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Let's restrict it. Let's limit it. Let's discourage it. The Democrat Party has gotten more radical about it. They want all restrictions removed. You can kill the baby up to the time before. Look, when the baby's head emerges from the birth canal, when you can, before the baby is actually born, when the baby's head can be seen through the birth canal, their position is that until it comes through the birth canal, you can kill it, and there's no moral compunction against doing so whatsoever. It's okay. It's right. And now they've gone to the point of saying, and if it's an intended abortion and you don't manage to kill it before it emerges from the womb, and it emerges from the womb alive, the baby emerges alive, you can still kill it. Now, folks, that's demonic. There's no other way to describe that. That is deeply and profoundly evil. And this whole gender-bending nonsense, this is all just abject, out-and-out rebellion against the natural order of Almighty God. That's what it is. And the Democrat Party has absolutely sold out to this stuff. Sold out to it. And so, in my view, folks, the party has become a demonic party. I've sort of tongue-in-cheek called them the Demoncrats. But I think that's actually an accurate description of who they are and where their philosophy is. By the way, I was reminded of this. I'm pretty sure I'd heard this, but I was maybe I was hearing it for the first time and heard something similar. But in reading a book by Stephen Strang called God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, I was reminded of a poll, a Gallup poll that came out some time ago. When I say some time ago, about a year ago or so, showing, for example, that Democrats, let's put it this way, Republicans, by the margin of 76%, listen to this now, 76% of Republicans are very proud of their country. Very proud of their country. Extremely proud of their country. And by the way, if you add to that, those who are, that's extremely proud. If you add to that, those who are very proud and those who are extremely proud, folks, it comes to 97%. 97%. Guess what percentage of Democrats are extremely proud of their country? 22%. 22%. That's a staggering number. And it shows the vast difference in the perception that people who belong to these parties and the platforms of these parties have toward America. Because I really believe this, that most Republicans believe that America is a gift from God. And they don't join the Republican Party because it's called the Republican Party. They join it because of its platform, because it comports with their values. And what this is indicating is most Democrats see America as a curse. Only less than one in four are extremely proud of the country. Less than one in four. I mean, that tells you something about the different philosophies, doesn't it? Let's see. I think, do I have time to get a call in? Let's try one. Oh, I guess I don't. Sorry about that, folks. But you know what? I'll get you on as soon as I come back. Stand by.
If you look through a spiritual lens, you realize that God created us because He loves us.
You know, you can lose sight of God's love and forgiveness in the midst of a difficult situation. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Al Robertson encourages you to cling to your relationship with God.
And He created us to have an eternal relationship with Him. And so, no matter what has been done on planet Earth, when we repent and we look to Him and say, we want to accept your forgiveness and your love, we have an eternal relationship with Him from that point forward. And so I think as things happen to us, of course, we may relate them to some decision or some other thing, but in the eternal sense of how God operates, He only leads us in love. That's all He's ever wanted, is to love us.
You can trust in God's love to lead you. More from Al at FamilyMinute.org.
America has seen her share of changes in recent years. Thankfully, some of those changes are for the better, but others bring us much concern. And to be concerned is a good start for us, but it's only a start. The AFA Journal is the magazine for people who are not only concerned about the direction our nation is headed, but they're determined to do something about it. The AFA Journal, online and in print. Visit afajournal.org today.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Okay, folks, without any delay, let's get right to your calls because I don't want to hold you up any longer, and you all have been very, very patient. Thank you very much. So let's go to John in Texas. John, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm blessed, John. How are you doing?
I too am blessed.
Amen.
I just wanted to contact you about the misunderstanding that you seem to have about Bernie Sanders. I mean, I'm not defending him. I'm not a Bernie Sanders fan, but I think the misunderstanding lies in, you know, him being of the Jewish faith, and you seem to believe that he is a demon or demonic. It speaks demonic words about people's faith. I think where the misunderstanding lies is that because he does not believe in Jesus Christ, is, you know, that is the belief of the Jewish people, and therefore, it can be misconstrued that
okay,
you know, without Jesus Christ, is the path okay to everlasting life.
Got you, John. John, I got it. Thanks for the call. Listen, I want to get on to other calls, but let me tell you this. Dennis Prager's Jewish. And Dennis Prager is a practicing Jew. And Dennis Prager praises Christians and Christianity all the time. Dennis Prager has said, this country is done without Christianity. And he's Jewish. So I'm not buying that. Well, it's because he's Jewish. I know Jews who are deeply and profoundly grateful and appreciative of Christianity, of people like John Hagee and Christians United for Israel and others. So, no. In fact, I think that Bernie Sanders is an effective atheist. I don't think he believes in Judaism, or I don't think he believes in anything else, to tell you the truth. Because, here again, I know Jews who love Christians and are grateful for. Look. A lot of Jews believe Israel would be done if it weren't for Christians standing up for Israel, praying for Israel, and praying for the Jewish people. So I got your point, John, but I don't agree with it. Let's go to Chris in Texas. Chris, welcome.
Hello, Brother Jackson. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. I have a notion that, if possible, we as Americans and our leadership could reconsider the fundamental notion of indivisibility. Perhaps we should slice off a piece of land and give it to the liberals and allow them to have their own country. What do you think?
You know what? They would run it in the ground, and a lot of them would come crawling back because they'd end up under the dictatorship of Bernie or somebody. We know that that's not going to happen, but I here again, I get your point too. It would be great to have them live under these principles that they think the rest of us ought to live under. And you'd end up seeing the same thing you've seen in the Soviet Union, same thing in Vietnam, same thing in Cambodia, same thing in Cuba, which is the elites get the very best and everybody else suffers in misery and shortages and persecution for not understanding the great things that the great leaders are doing for you. It's like Bernie Sanders said, you know, Fidel Castro taught everybody to read. I mean, so that you could read your death warrant before they shot you. Well, boy, that's really consoling. And why aren't we all standing up and praising Fidel Castro instead of criticizing him for all the great things he did for the Cuban people? All right. Thank you for the call, Chris. Let's go to Marlon in Iowa. Oh, is it Marilyn? Sorry about that, Marilyn. Marilyn in Iowa.
That's fine. I don't mind. I'm just wanting to have you encourage people to call the president's comment line and ask him to call the nation to prayer, because prayer and God are the only one that's going to turn this around.
Amen.
And then he gets the glory, and that's what we want.
Praise so, God. Praise God.
If you need
God.
The president's comment line, I have it.
What, you want to read it? You want to tell us what it is? I don't mind.
I would like.
Go right ahead.
1-202-456-1111. And sometimes
right,
you have
Marilyn.
To wait. I had to wait 8 minutes, but it's worth it.
It's worth it. Thank you for the call, Marilyn. We appreciate that. And prayer is always due. Folks, I just want to remind you all that my organization, STAN, has a prayer line at 12 noon every Friday. We are praying. In fact, you all pray for us because we're thinking about extending that to every day. The response has been so great. Fridays at 12 noon Eastern time. If you want to get the information on the prayer line, simply email us at prayer@standamerica.us. That's prayer@standamerica.us. You are absolutely right. Prayer is the key to overcoming these demonic forces. The number, by the way, folks, is 888-589-8840. Got a couple open lines. I should be able to get you in before we end the program today. So let's go to Sherry in North Carolina. Sherry, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. Good to talk to you. You say so many things that I agree with. It's hard to pick one. But Bernie Sanders, what your comment about him being demon-possessed, I don't think you're the only one that believes this. And not only him, but a good many of the leaders on the Democratic side
yep.
strike me as really strange. That I expect fully to see some of them start kicking and frothing at the mouth, and that's kind of a joke, but I'm serious. Bishop, that and I will say one other thing. That man that is a Jew that called you seemed like a nice fella. He doesn't realize that some of the best friends that he has got are Christians. I'd stand up for a Jewish mm-hmm. person as fast as I would for a Christian. And
Amen.
He might ought to rethink how he feels about that. He was very polite, and, you know, I understand that. But as far as it goes, Bishop, I love the Jewish people. I pray the everlast one will come to the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But in
mm-hmm.
the meantime, they need to wake up and understand who their real friends are. That's the Christians
That's
and
right.
the conservatives.
That's
Thank
right,
you,
Sherry.
I listen
you.
To you as often as I can, and I really appreciate you and AFR. And y'all have made a big difference in my life in the past year.
Amen.
I just found y'all a year ago, and it has been a blessing. And I'm
well, Sherry, that,
thank you, sir.
Thank you. That is so encouraging for all of us, And I really do appreciate that, Sherry. Thank you for listening, and thanks for calling. Let's go to Todd in Mississippi. Todd? You're on.
Yes. Hey, Bishop, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to say, well, one quick thing. We're brothers two ways, brothers in Christ and Semper Fi.
Amen. Semper Fi. All right. All right, Todd.
But I have a question. I just want your take on this, and I could be wrong. I always felt as Obama really had ties with the Muslim Brotherhood. Okay, with that being said, the Democratic Party, Pelosi, Schumer, and Biden, just to name three, who are they going to answer to? Who are they going to cater to? Who do they think is going to take care of them if they get our country in the shape that they really want it and turn it into a socialistic country / one world government? I'd like to get your take on that.
Well, Todd, thanks for the call. And look, I believe the same thing. I believe that Obama had, and people debate about whether Obama was a Muslim. I've said, I don't really think that's the issue. I think the issue is whether he feels a greater sense of loyalty to Islam than he does to America and our Constitution. And frankly, I felt he did. He said in one of his books, if the winds of change ever blow against Islam, he would always stand with Islam. And folks, I heard him defend Islam many times. I never heard him defend Christianity. In fact, he would attack Christianity. You all remember when people were talking about Islamic terror and he said, don't get on your high horse because don't forget about the Crusades. Yeah. So Christians, you don't have a right to be, you know, opposing Muslims who are engaged in terror or acting like somehow they're really bad and Christianity is really good because after all, you all were responsible for the Crusades. Of course, he doesn't realize the Crusades were a response to Muslim terror against Christians and Jews, as well as some other Muslims, that we were trying to bring order back to the Holy Land. So he's got his history all messed up there. And regardless of what atrocities may have been performed, just like in the Vietnam War, people accused us of atrocities in the Vietnam War. But the fact of the matter is, the motivation for the action was noble. And now individuals get beside themselves and things can get out of hand and get out of control. But let's get back to what the initial motivation was. And the initial motivation for the Crusades was good. It was to put order back into the Holy Land and make access to it available to Christians and Jews. And the Muslims were basically driving everybody out and killing everybody in their wake. Now, that's just history, folks. That's just the way it is. Okay. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. You know what, folks? My goodness. I want to get to another call, but if I do that, I'm gonna mess up our producer. So look, let me just remind you all of something. Today, I'm having a very important nationwide phone call on standing up against socialism on May 1. You know, May 1 is supposed to be May Day, and the communists celebrate May Day. Well, we're taking May Day back, just like we're taking everything back from these socialists and communists. And we're going to be gathering at state and local communities around the country. You all remember the big Tea Party rallies that occurred on April 15th of 2009? Well, we're seeking to replicate that. And if you want to get involved in that, you can join our call today. All you got to do is email me at ewj@standamerica.us and say, I'd like to be on that call. I'd like to get involved in helping to organize these rallies. Because, folks, this socialism and communism stuff has got to go. It has got to go. And we've got to make a bold stand against it. And we're going to do that on May 1. And then we've got some follow-up that we're going to be doing as well. So, look, folks, we're going to win this thing. I'm not just talking about the election. I'm talking about the hearts and minds and the culture of America. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we're on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.